Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hallgren, along with Ken Evans, is finally... This has been the longest 90 days of my life.
This has been I've had contract situations. I couldn't make show weight. I had to lean on a towel before I could come in today. But I finally made it back.
You've done all of those things, and now you are back. So we will be covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts.
Did the Mayweather Conor McGregor fight happen while I was gone?
It did not happen, but today
it's inevitable. It's inevitable, right?
Today is Friday, so we do need to check for
Conor McGregor. Oh, it is Cinco de Mayo. Happy Cinco de Mayo, Eric.
Happy Cinco de Mayo to you.
The Battle of Puebla is what we celebrate today.
Yes.
Are you? Oh, he's really looking.
It's the Friday news dump, and according to Fox Business News, this is the latest I have. For
okay,
everyone, is that they're already taking bets in Vegas on this fight?
Well, yeah, they've been taking bets in Vegas for about 3 months. All right. Well, when that fight happens, let me know. I'm going to leave. Go ahead and do what you've been doing. It's been great so far.
Thanks for stopping by.
These past 90 days.
Thank you for stopping by. Okay, so we've got a couple big announcements that happened this week. There's a UFC press conference that we'll get to in a second. The bigger announcement, which I think for Ken and I is the more interesting, is UFC 213. There was a bunch of fights announced, but no main event.
Okay, so what do we have right now for 213?
So,
we're going to talk about 211 here soon.
Yeah, well...
And then we're probably never going to talk about 212 unless they put some other main event on there.
Unless there's nothing else to talk about that week.
Is this what WMG signed up for? Was this roster of main events we've seen so far?
You know, since this
like
is...
Like, no Conor McGregor.
No Conor.
No Ronda Rousey.
No Jones.
No Diaz at this point.
No Diaz.
I mean, Ally Quintet, nobody cares. Whatever.
He's doing a good Diaz, but nobody
whatever.
Cares.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. He's doing... Yeah, the Diaz thing is not... if you were them and you just paid for... The Fertittas, geniuses.
Uh-huh.
Geniuses. They brought the sport back from death when it was called human cockfighting. They turned a $2 million investment into a $4 billion return, and then they got out at what may be the top. I mean, I don't want to get into a long-form discussion first week back here, but, you know, you've really got to look at the state of MMA and wonder, hey, were we at the peak? Is that what happened?
Well, and, it feels like this, and we can sit here for a second. You know, it does feel like, and I do want to talk to you about that ESPN story and how that connects with the UFC.
I didn't see that one.
I'll loop it in here, but, like, it does feel to me that from a fan perspective that this sport has become a lot less fun and fan friendly, right? Like, we're now into May. To your
we're kind of trudging through some of these cards.
Well, and we don't have any super fights announced. You just alluded to the fact that we have a card that's headlined by Aldo and Holloway.
Which, I mean, will be a nice fight, but they literally want us to pay for that fight.
Yes.
And it's not the $9.99 fight pass or anything like that.
No.
They want you to pay for that Aldo Holloway fight as a main event fight, and I just don't see a lot of people doing that.
And, you know, and when you compare that to this, to 213, which I'll run down in a second, there's a vast disparity, and I'm not the guy that wants to talk about in the good old days, but, you know, you can't help but remember, Ken, when you and I got into this sport,
mm-hmm.
that the quarterly events...
That was the big deal. Look, we've had these, I'm not going to call them throwaway because that's disrespectful to the fighters, but we've had ebbs and flows in these cards at all
sure.
points. UFC 213, though, that's the July card, right? UFC 213, that's the culmination of what they've been calling International Fight Week.
Yep.
That's been one of the big cards. That was last year, the Brock Lesnar card. That was supposed to have Conor McGregor, and then there was the back and forth with he and UFC. That was the card where Anderson Silva, you know, came out of the back because he had to fill in for John Jones.
Right.
I mean, that's still ended up being a monster card. And obviously the Miesha Tate title fight where she lost her title last year. So that quarterly card has always been huge. And right now, I'm going to tell you something, too. This is going to surprise you. During the break, I've actually watched some of the Ultimate Fighters.
On Redemption?
Is that Garbrandt?
Yes.
I haven't watched enough to figure out the subtitles. Come on now. But it's a lot more exciting when they let the fighters choke each other during the whole
yes.
training session. So I actually have watched. So I'm interested in the Cody Garbrandt Dillashaw fight. I am interested in it, but it does not feel to me like a ultimate international fight week culmination card at this point. A lot of people have been talking about John Jones still and wondering what he's going to do. Technically, wouldn't July 13th, or is that July 8th? When is that card?
It is July 4th. It's July 4th weekend.
July 8th is the actual card, though.
Oh, sorry. Yes, the week starts July 4th.
So
yes.
The July 8th is the card. I think that would get him past the year. I'm not 100% sure because I'm looking at this card and wondering what else you could put on this card at this point.
And not to be disrespectful, because there is a Fight of the Year candidate on there in Lawler and Donald Cerrone.
Oh, of course. Love. This is a full card. You give me a great headliner, and I will be all in on this card. But that's the thing. We're still lacking that. And that may happen when we have this press conference next week in Dallas, because we're going to be in Dallas next week for we aren't. UFC is.
Yep, because that's when they're going to announce Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather on UFC 213.
See, there. I'm in. I'm in. I like the Dan Patrick idea, by the way. Have I told you this?
No.
So if they have the fight, Floyd gets 5 rounds of boxing. But if they go to 6, it becomes a 5-round or a 5-minute MMA round.
I love it.
So Floyd's got to try to knock him out,
Does he then get 6 more rounds to do boxing after that?
I don't know. Does he last a single MMA round? That's the thing that's interesting about this whole deal when you talk about it. Like, nobody thinks Floyd would win in a fight. But everybody thinks Conor's got a shot at least in a boxing match, which I find to be one of the most interesting things here when you talk about fighters and what is a fight and what is a boxing match and all of those types of things.
Yeah, well, and I don't know that it's necessarily fair to say he doesn't last a round, right? Because he's not a guy who took a lot of head damage. I mean, there's a whole
bunch. You mean Conor McGregor?
No, Mayweather, right? If we went to MMA, right? Does he have the chance?
Five minutes?
Does he have the tools to win that? I mean, I doubt it, because you're adding kicks, you're adding takedowns, you're adding jiu-jitsu.
Well, not only are you doing that, but you're taking away everything, even in the boxing aspect that Floyd does, which is all defense. Yep. I mean, you can't just roll against the cage and then the guy gets pulled off you. That's not how
right.
that works.
No, he takes you down and drowns you, right?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't one of the heavyweight. This isn't Klitschko swinging for the fences, in Saturday's fight.
Dear God, that was a great fight, though.
It was a fun fight, by the way.
Man.
I finally got to see that. So, I mean, Floyd's tools, even in the boxing ring, would not translate well to MMA. So I know that that's not going to happen.
I love the idea, though. Because, I mean, because that's, of course, the weird part of this fight. It's that you're not, I mean, you're, it's amazing if you're a Conor fan, because mm-hmm. he can go do the thing that he's become.
Can he do that thing? And he'd be the bigger guy.
He's a bigger guy.
And that never happens really with Conor lately.
He's become this international folk hero, right, who just does the impossible. A guy who was a plumber 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Sorry, a plumber's apprentice. He wasn't actually even a plumber yet. Now 4 years later, he could be taking on yet another industry. And you and I have talked about this, not on the podcast, but just anecdotally as friends, that it opens up all of these other opportunities to acting, to WWE, to things that get him so far away from the UFC.
Right.
So from a UFC WME perspective, this seems like a really interesting thing, because if he wins or has a great showing,
He can win losing. Yeah, and he's proven that, by the way, because he lost to Diaz. How many people were saying, oh, this is it? He's going to lose the Mystique. He's not going to be a huge star anymore.
But, if he's able to, and I'm not saying, I don't even think Floyd would do this, because Floyd is, I think, one of the most disciplined people in the ring when it comes to this.
Oh, stuff. He's an amazingly disciplined fighter.
But if Floyd was able to get what happened with Klitschko on Saturday night to happen with him and Floyd for 12
rounds.
Oh,
that'd rounds, be it. That'd be it. I think you really could give a real shot to Conor McGregor at
100%.
That point.
Yeah, if you turn it into a haymaker fest. Right. Yeah, but I think even if it's a haymaker fest and he somehow loses on points,
right,
because Floyd just knows how to score better.
Yeah.
He's walking out of that thing a winner, and you're mm-hmm. booking Canelo next, right? Because mm-hmm. then, right? You're not going back to the UFC.
Fantasy booking.
I don't think you go back to the UFC if you have a great showing against Floyd Mayweather and make.
Okay, so what does that say about the UFC, though? Because that should be your highlight reel. That should be where you go and you conquer and you stay there. Are they not paying enough then to the headliners? We've always talked about low-end fighter pay. If you get to the point where one of the biggest draws in actual MMA thinks he can be a bigger draw outside of your organization, I think then the UFC would really have to look at that pay scale.
He is a bigger draw.
I get that. But, I mean, at a certain point, if you're UFC, you make him the biggest draw. You put him – and he is.
But what I'm saying is, I don't think he needs the organization anymore. I mean, he hasn't fought in how long?
Mm-hmm. So you're saying, like, go out and do your own. Remember those weird little Fedor pay-per-views we were, like, going to get a while ago?
I'm not saying that he starts his own promotion. I'm saying, you know, because he seems to be more business-centric than Fedor in that regard. Not a disrespect to Fedor, but Fedor was not a guy who
Fedor had a very, to be fair to that situation, I mean, he had a plan. It's sort of the Lorenzo Ball plan of, you've got to bring all my friends in, and you've got to do, like, you've got to start M1 if you want to be part of my company and all that weird stuff.
I was more saying, like, Conor is on the mogul side, right?
Right.
I'm gonna start a vodka and try boxing and become an actor and, you know, my own line,
right.
Cars, what, you know, whatever.
I think, though, for Conor, I mean, I think still fighting is where he's going to, you know, be able to showcase himself at this point. And here's the weird little thing, and we talked about Conor probably too much for this, and watch, maybe he'll be announced, actually, for 213. But the funny thing about Conor is, obviously, he's been able to keep himself in the limelight, even though he really hasn't fought in a while. I can't remember. I mean, what were we, October? When did he fight last? I don't even remember off the top of my head at this point.
And he wouldn't be booked for who you want him to be booked if it's July, because that's still Ramadan.
So what? Who do you want?
Well, it wouldn't be what I'm saying is it wouldn't be Nurmagomedov, because it'd be Ramadan. And so
But Nurmagomedov's not making any fights anyways. Look, that's another thing
isn't Ferguson booked?
I don't care who he to see. Here's the interesting. I don't care who Conor fights. I want to see Conor fight. Yeah, sure. We can make some great matchups. I don't. You do that part. I'll pay my $55 and. Conor's fighting tonight. See, that's where he is, and that's where Mayweather was, and that's where some of the big boxing stars were, and that's what the UFC is going to have to deal with a bit. Now, obviously, they have him under an MMA contract, and they're not going to screw around with Conor McGregor. He's going to make them a lot of money, and they're going to give him a lot of money. It's just kind of interesting to figure out when he's going to come back from that. And I don't want to get too much into this because it's just a lot of supposition. If he doesn't fight soon, though, you have to start thinking about ring rust, right? A little bit? Or has Conor always been that guy? Like, it's not going to affect him.
I think it... Well, I don't know.
Because this was a guy that was fighting three times a year up until last year.
Yeah, his last fight was November 12th, 2016. Took time off for the birth of his son. Son? Daughter?
I don't know. Congratulations.
His child. And obviously he's been working on this Floyd thing the entire time. Like, he's not speaking anyone's name. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is barking his name, but he's not really biting on any of that stuff.
Yeah, nobody in the UFC, he's not responding to anybody.
No. I mean, it's been a while. So, I mean, as much as I've been bullish on George St. Pierre and the lack of ring rust, because I just think he's been doing other things, like in the mountains with whoever.
Is that what he is? He's living up there with Brock?
Well, I just assume,
is that why Brock's a Canadian now?
He's been doing all sorts of crazy stuff, so maybe ring rust isn't a thing. I think Conor's the same way. It seems like he's continually in camp, some sort of pseudo camp all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Well, how about that? What do we have lined up for GSP right now?
Bisping.
Is that for sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is why you heard the talk, and we can do that now, but that's why you heard the talk this week of Silva and Yoel Romero for the interim title.
See, I saw that. I'm tired of these interim titles.
Oh, I am too, but that's why you have an interim title, because you have Bisping locked up for this thing whenever it's going to happen.
Oh, so we don't have a date then.
No, but he's not free because Yoel can't fight Bisping. That's not what they're doing.
Understood. That's what I was asking. I thought they maybe locked a date, or maybe that's what they're talking. They could be talking about that here.
And maybe you'll see that this week.
How's his side eye? So he still got the side eye
forever. Yes.
Okay.
Thank Vitor.
That's got to be throwing people off. That might be a little bit of an advantage.
Right.
You don't know where he's going with his punches, because neither does he.
It's very hard to fight him.
Hit the guy in the middle, Mike. The guy in the middle.
Long story short, what Ken wanted
us to do... UFC 211.
...is run through UFC 213 is what you wanted us to do.
What?
Which we have in no certain order, although this feels like the order. Cody Garbrandt, TJ Dillashaw, Nunes, Shvenko, Lawler, Cerrone, Overeem, Verdum 3, Pettis, Jim Miller, Brown... Olyink, and then down from there.
You're just making names up now.
I'm not
making,
yeah. Well,
stop making names up.
If I keep going, you'll think I'm making names up. But, so, I mean, that's what you got right now as a
It's a fun card. I've got to imagine they've got something. Would Yoel and Silva top that card off for you?
No, not
at this point.
Well, because I mean, unless you're into watching Anderson Silva get murdered, if that's what you want to do on your July 8th weekend, because I just think
I've done worse.
I just think this is the worst fight for Anderson Silva on earth.
Oh, yeah. I mean, pretty much any fight's terrible, but I'm saying you've got the name. That was one of the names you said when we were started talking about whether or not things have peaked and whether or not you've got these headliners. He's still that guy that had that name. Is it still there? Is it enough to do something
so
in the
car? Well, he looks so bad at UFC 200.
Right, but okay, let's talk about walking in off the street. Like, literally, he was there signing posters, and he walked in to the cage to fight. So, I mean, a lot of respect there. He hasn't looked...
I have zero respect.
Okay, all right.
What I'm saying is, fight fans, and you know this, fight fans are super fickle, and they're going to remember that fight. They don't care how you got into the octagon. You got into the octagon, and you didn't look great.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I thought he looked okay, considering he was fighting a heavyweight.
He didn't look like Anderson Silva, though. We're talking like Neo from The Matrix. Like, that's what people are expecting to see happen, and that did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Yoel Romero is a worse matchup than Cormier was.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, but well, because Cormier, too, was all hyped up for John Jones. I mean, we've talked about that before. There was a plethora of weird issues there. And, you know, I think so. OK, hold on. I want to ask this because we talk a little bit about Cormier there. Do you like how he embraced the fact that the crowd's just booing him?
Yes.
I was happy when that finally happened.
Because I think that's what you have to do. You know, you and I have talked, and I've talked on my own in the last couple months, that the interesting thing about the Daniel Cormier experience is I honestly think if John Jones never existed, he would be as big as George St. Pierre.
Really?
But because John exists, and because there's...
I think John Jones helped make him who he is, even with the loss.
Make him as a heel, yes, because there's a shadow that follows him around that he's not the actual champ, that he can't shake.
Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, Eric, that's an amazing storyline. Consider how boring this division could be.
Well,
yeah,
right.
But it is. But that there's that little thing always looming right now. If he didn't have that looming, what would be like? Oh, Cormier's just going to go in and waylay Gustafsson again. Oh, Teixeira's got another title shot. What is he, 50 now?
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's the kind of thing about this division right now. But with you know that little John Jones caveat out there, I mean, there's still some interest in this division. So, you know, Manoa, I think, is very interesting as a fight.
Sure. I don't think anyone's going to pay for that, though.
Like, Cormier, Manoa, winner gets John Jones. John Jones has to fight on the card. I think we figure something out.
So the champion is...
John on the card.
Is it a number one contenders match?
Hey, we got to get that $4 billion back, man.
We spent
a lot of money.
That's a big shadow that he's got.
Well, see, think about it. You know how they always do those UFC posters that you're always criticizing online? And, like, there'll be, like, the little two fighters there, and then there'll be, like, a John Jones that's real big behind him.
The posters that they're currently doing on Adobe Spark these days?
Right. I call it minimalist. We got to get that $4 billion back. But there'll be a little big John Jones back there, and what do? You throw him on the card, have him fight somebody.
Just loom over them?
Yeah. But he's
like
on,
it's a Harry Potter book.
But he's on the same card. He's Voldemort. He's Voldemort.
He who shall not be named is also on this card.
Man, how scary would Voldemort be on, like, dick pills and running down pregnant ladies?
And crocodile or
exactly.
Whatever drugs he's taking.
What is that? What is that?
And of course, that's to me the most interesting part about this division is so you have a shadow that goes both ways. The champ isn't really the champ because he's never actually beat the champ. And the champ who actually is the champ may not get here because somebody might introduce him to different dick pills.
Right? Yeah, right. Exactly. Because he's at the liquor store, like, buying weird supplements.
Right. Just wanted some Nas energy.
I don't know what's going on. But see, that's interesting. So, I mean, I've heard two different things, and I swear, I can't source them right now. So I can only say I'm pretty sure I've heard Dana say two different things on this, which, again, you change your mind. Things evolve. I get it. One thing I've heard is John Jones will not main event when he returns.
I've seen that, too.
The other thing is he will fight Daniel Cormier when he returns. So are we not putting Daniel Cormier in the main event? I guess technically we could do that, too.
Right, and
who main events over Daniel at this point? I don't think anybody, right? There's nobody other than Connor.
There is no one.
Connor's the only one. So he would have to be on the same card.
But there's no one. I mean, if you're Miocic is next weekend, so you don't have a heavyweight fight at that point.
Right.
You're doing Aldo Holloway, which, you know.
It's fine. Well, that's champion versus champion. Don't forget, Max Holloway's got one of those belts, right?
Yeah. Right.
That they buy out of the souvenir stand.
So you've got...
I didn't even remember that he had that belt until I saw some of the artwork. I'm like,
you've got Yoel and champion versus champion. You've got Yoel.
Come on, it's like Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. Yes.
You've got Yoel.
Skydome.
Yoel.
Do this in Skydome.
Yoel and Silva sitting out there.
Put Aldo and Holloway in Skydome. Book it.
Which one of them is going to...
Open the dome when it ends, man.
Which one of them is going to say, I'm running to the ring. I'm not taking your cart. I'm running to the ring.
I'm going to run to the ring and blow up and ask Hogan to end the match in 2 minutes. Rest in peace, Mr. Hellweg.
Yeah. So, so you've got Anderson and Yoel out there. You've got Bisping and GSP booked up, but that's not for July.
But we don't have a date.
Unless they're going to make that announcement next week in Dallas, which is their big press conference. Yeah, there's no one else out there.
Hmm. So I basically came back to the show to just preside over the demise of the UFC.
Right.
Is that what's happening
well,
at this point?
Well, I mean, and GSP is saying that it's Madison Square Garden is where the fight's going to take place. But I don't know that we have a date.
Hmm.
But this certainly wouldn't be July, right?
No, we've already got a venue, don't we, for July?
Yeah.
It's always Vegas, though.
Yes.
It's got to be Vegas because they do all the events.
That's where Fight Week is. Yep.
Well, and they'll I think they've got an event leading up to that, too. I don't know if they're going to try...
Are they doing three again like they did last time?
I don't think they're doing three. I think they're going to do an Ultimate Fight... The Ultimate Fighters that week, I believe. The finale.
Oh, gotcha.
I think they're going to do that. But that is not, obviously, Corey Garbrandt's fight at that point. He's fighting on the actual card.
Yes, yeah.
So that's going to be kind of interesting, too.
Which is probably where he should be.
No, that's good. That's good. But I'm wondering who's going to watch this redemption finale.
Well, I think they've certainly tried to build this world where you have 3 days of celebration, right? Where you're supposed to be watching. Remember, it was last year that it was three events in a row.
Yes.
So you've got just the finale and UFC 213. Now they're not going to do three. They're going to do two. You know, if you're in for a MMA weekend, I guess it's okay.
I guess.
But, yeah, I don't know that a lot of people will. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know what you put on top of that finale that gets people to be super excited.
So, essentially, what we're looking at this point, the theme of the show here is what headlines 213? Because we don't believe it has a headliner, do we?
I don't believe that Garbrandt and Dillashaw is your headliner.
No. As much as I want to see that fight,
That
doesn't feel like the culmination of Fight Week. And we do have some strong fights on that card. Anytime Overeem's on a card, I'm in. I like that. Obviously, Verdum Overeem is awesome. Robbie Lawler, like you said, Cerrone, like you said, could be a fight of the year candidate.
It's going to be amazing.
It just feels like we need something here. Now, July 8th, that would mean Brock could come back
free,
the way everything
right.
is
yes.
timing out, right? You called me crazy every time I said this before, and then what happened last year? It actually happened.
Yeah, I just, man, I don't know.
He hasn't been seen in WWE since WrestleMania.
Is that true?
Which is, yes. Well, he's only booked a certain number of dates a year.
No, I knew that, yeah, but, and they haven't had, there hasn't been one of the, because SummerSlam would be the next one he'd show up at, right?
Usually, yes. Usually, he's not booked for anything right now. He's not really been mentioned on TV other than in passing that, hey, Brock's got our title. And I want him, but they're kind of doing this split brand. I mean, he could conceivably be in a camp right now, maybe with GSP up in Canada.
Huh. Interesting.
Hmm.
Interesting. So, yeah, I mean, so the big press conference that this whatever is going to get announced will get announced is May 12th. So
allegedly. We don't know if that's actually what's going to happen.
It's going to be.
We assume it's going to be announced.
Right. It's going to be Friday in Dallas, one day before UFC 211. Here's who's going to be on the docket, at least for now. You got Gedalia and Kowalczyk, who are meeting for, I think, the first time at UFC 212. Holly Holm and Betch Kohea are also going to be there. Mike Chiesa and Kevin Lee, they are headlining, as we talked about earlier, UFC Fight Night 212 in Oklahoma City.
I think it's 112. We're not up to 200.
Oh, sorry,
nights,
112.
And then Cody, I missed a lot.
Cody Garbrandt and Dillashaw will also be there. There's going to be other fighters announced, and I'm imagining that they will put this main event to bed by either making it Garbrandt-Dillashaw and calling it a day and adding another fight, or, to your point, having a big surprise announcement. Although, in the WME world, they certainly, and this will tie right into this week, they certainly haven't been really great at keeping secrets.
Really?
So, I mean, their ability to keep this announcement for a week quiet seems pretty unlikely, especially since this past week there was a press release that they sent out inadvertently about a women's flyweight division that they aren't quite ready to do.
They're doing a flyweight division?
Yeah. So part of the story is when we start talking about next week is Jędrzejczyk was thinking about retiring after this fight because she doesn't feel like there's much left to do and doesn't want to be at this weight, and 35 is too much for her. So putting a 25 might extend her career in the UFC.
Okay, so they're looking for Jędrzejczyk to be...
We'll call it the reverse Demetrius Johnson, right? When he fought Dominic Cruz and they invented a place for him to go and beat everybody.
Well, it's not the reverse.
Yeah, it is because he went down.
Oh, JJ's I'm sorry. Okay.
But all that to say that Dana White told Kevin Ioli this week that they shouldn't have sent that out. They're not ready to talk about it yet.
What are the divisions we have right now for women?
Women, you have 115... You have 135 and 145.
Oh, okay.
Although 145 is just Cyborg.
But it's not really.
Well, I mean, it's Holm and Jermaine Durandamé, but that's it.
Right.
And
I heard Cyborg was booked. Is that just Cyborg doing Cyborg crazy stuff on Facebook?
That's Cyborg just doing Cyborg. She wants to be booked.
Oh, okay.
For anybody.
If you look on her Facebook, she's like booked all the time.
Well, I mean, she's got all the fights if you know.
Well, I mean,
she wants to fight Megan Anderson at 214, but nothing's been booked.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
You have three people in that division, and one of them just moved down to 35 to fight Betch Kohea. So you have Jermaine Durandamé and Cyborg.
See, and here's the weird thing about the women's division. Just when you kind of start to get a little bit of a grasp on some of these fighters, if they're going to add another division, which may be entirely premature, but they want to extend Jędrzejczyk's
career. Clearly on the docket, right? They just don't.
But again, you have all these. I don't know who's landing where at this point. I mean, and this should be we should be at the point right now with this women's division where when we're looking at it and we've got, you know, a situation with Amanda Nunes, who should be taking that torch basically that she's been given by Rousey and Miesha Tate and really owning basically women's MMA, and it seems like it's getting very murky at this point.
Yes, and I mean, like I'm showing you here on the UFC page, if you look at the rankings for the featherweight division where Jermaine Durandamé is your champion, there aren't enough fighters to have a ranking.
They don't even list her as a champion. That's not cool.
Right.
She's got a belt, right? They gave her...
Yes.
Or is it like a Max Holloway belt?
No, it's a real. An actual person to get right. the be the first.
Well, I think
champion.
Max beat somebody, didn't he?
Well, yeah, but he didn't beat who. The actual. Like it wasn't the right.
I don't know who. Can't keep up.
I'm sure it was John Jones.
All right. So who's the Bellator champion? That's what.
Yes, that is what you want to do. We do have that Bellator pay per view coming up. Are you excited about that?
Yeah. It's you know what? It's in a good spot because I was setting up for the show today and kind of going through the UFC events, just kind of reset myself here. They're landing in a pretty decent spot as far as dropping this thing into what would be a slower UFC window. Because we are going to go from Aldo Holloway, if you want to even call that. I mean, it's a pay-per-view. I get it. But that's a low-tier pay-per-view, I guess you'd say. So you're going to have a break between Miocic Dos Santos and whatever happens at 213 of almost 2 months. And they're going to land there just a couple of weeks, I think, before that UFC 213 card.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think the biggest problem with this is not the price point or...
I think the price point's off. I think a $39.95 price point would be much better for Bellator.
I think what's worse is it's in New York.
Why is that worse?
Because MMA in New York sucks.
Well, I know that. Yes, okay. That's what I was wondering. Yeah, they don't... Well, I mean, it's great it's in New York, you know, if anybody's got weight problems.
Right, you don't need to make weight. There are no rules.
Bring your own scale.
There are no rules that apply. Math is questionable.
Just keep weighing in all the time.
Bring your own towel and jump rope, whatever you want to bring.
So, I mean, yeah, I guess it depends on what you're worried about in New York.
Yeah, I mean, but there's some interesting fights on here. You've got Silva and Sonnen at the top of it, Fedor and Matt Mitrione on it, Lima and Larkin for the welterweight title, which is awesome, Michael Chandler and Primus for the lightweight title, which is also awesome. I mean, it's a fun four-fight main event, but again, to your point, I think we should be talking 39 to get people in, 35, something like that.
Yeah, I think $39.95 would be good. But, I mean, what's interesting here is, as far as casual fans go, you might have more interest in this for most casual fans than you're going to have for...
Max Holloway?
That Aldo Holloway card. I'm not even sure who else is on that card. Let me check that card out real quick. But, casual fan... Silva, is he on the card?
Is that booked on that card?
They're saying TBD.
Oh, that's when he gets murdered by Yoel Romero.
Okay, all right, there we go. So that's what we got at this point. Well, it's in Brazil, so that makes sense to put Silva on there. So, I mean, you've got – it's kind of an interesting dynamic. And, again, Bellator has to throw everything at one pay-per-view to kind of even get to where a B-level UFC pay-per-view is. But again, that price point, I think, is just a little high because they're asking $59.95, right? It's your regular UFC price point.
$49 for SD, $59 for HD.
Does anybody do that anymore?
I don't know.
SD?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to give you $60, so I might think about it.
Everybody over to Eric's house. We're going to watch on the tube TV in the garage.
We're going to watch 8-bit MMA fighting.
There we go.
Nice. Yeah, so that's coming up. And then, I think this weekend is obviously a bit of a slow weekend. Next weekend, we get Stipe and JDS, which I think should be interesting.
It's fun. It's the heavyweight champion of the world. I don't know if you can play anything off of the fact that we've got, you know, a little more talk about the heavyweight champion in boxing now and those type of things. So the heavyweights fights are always going to get some eyeballs. I would really like to see Stipe make a statement here and maybe really grab the reins, so to speak. This is going to be interesting to see how he holds the interest, so to speak, of the casual UFC fan, which we've talked a lot about here.
Well, I think in this division, he seems to be the most universal, like the most down-to-earth person,
mm-hmm.
where you've got like guys like Overeem that look like superstars and or superheroes, I should say.
Like He-Man characters.
Yeah, and I just think Stipe just seems like a guy who you would hang out with who also seems to be able to beat the tar out of people.
Right.
Which
He and Anthony Joshua are very similar in that regard.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw the after-fight interview. I mean, that dude's like totally down to earth, and he's willing to fight anybody, and you know it's a lot of fun there in heavyweight boxing. Now it's interesting because you look at heavyweight UFC and you're wondering, is this just going to be some drudgery or are we going to get a fun fight? We'll find out, I guess.
I mean with these two guys though,
we'll get a fun fight, but you never know with the heavyweights.
Yeah, and the rest of this card, and we'll get into it next week, but you've got Damian Maia, who took the Jorge Masvidal fight, which I'm with Woodley. I think that's crazy. I would have just waited because Masvidal is absolutely on fire. You get Yair Rodriguez, taking on Frankie Edgar, and Henry Cejudo and Sergio Pettis is on that as well. The fall of Eddie Alvarez continues with Dustin Poirier.
Boy, wow.
Right?
Wow. Just writing it off.
Hey, remember when he had a belt? Yeah. And then
that was a real one, too. He didn't have to buy that one.
And then JJ and Andrade is the co-main for that. And like I said, we'll talk about that next week. And I'm not sure who from that card is joining us, but we've got a couple things in the works that we'll be talking to somebody next week that I'm excited to do. But I mean, I don't think you really think this is going to be a snooze fest.
No, I didn't say it was going to be a snooze fest. But
well, I mean, that's what I feel when you say you say heavyweights and terrible.
I said trudge.
Yes.
I said trudge. I didn't say terrible.
Right, so I'm thinking like Mark Hunt in Denver, sort of like.
I mean, but that can always happen with the heavyweights. You never know. I mean, it's not really happened with Stipe yet. What's interesting about Stipe is like I really thought he would kind of catch the imagination of the UFC fan with the way he fights and how he's done things. And I'm not really feeling it. Maybe next week it'll kind of pick up and I'll get back into fight week mode, like Dana White always says.
Right.
But it just does it not seem like the hype is a little bit slow when we're just a week out, essentially,
well,
from a heavyweight title fight?
I think it's really hard this week, as we were talking a half hour ago. It's really hard when this whole industry after WME has taken over and this is what I was talking about, how it's not as fun for the fans, has become more about fantasy booking. Like, you're drowned out every single week as a professional fighter with fantasy booking.
Mm-hmm.
Every week, the MMA journalists, like right now, it's 11 o'clock Eastern. We're waiting for whatever Conor McGregor news is going to come out so we can post it.
Right.
It has nothing to do with what happened last week, has nothing to do with what's happening next week, but that's what we're waiting for. And I think it's hard as a fighter, especially somebody like Stipe, who's just not – his charisma is in a different direction than the Conor McGregor stuff. He's not going to run around and start telling everyone that JDS is a terrible person or whatever you think he's going to be saying. He's just not that type of guy, and it's hard to get over the din of all of the fantasy booking and all of the crazy news and will John Jones come back and when's GSP going to fight? Like, all that stuff happens every single week. And none of it has anything to do with what the fights are at hand.
And that's because we don't really have a fight booked right now for any of those guys.
Yeah.
And some of those guys are supposed to be coming back. Some of those aren't. You know, obviously, Conor's overshadowing things. So, you know, maybe next week it'll change and everybody will get excited again.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Until then, you can always follow along online at Twitter or Facebook by searching WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior. It is your MMA show.